the people of Geshur and Makkah. So they continue to live among the Israelites to this day. But to the tribe of Levi, he gave no inheritance, since the food offerings presented to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he promised them. More on this later. I wanted to talk today about sanctification. We don't use that word, sanctify, very often in everyday conversation. But really, it's one of the major works of the Holy Spirit. It's one of his major works in our everyday lives. Very simply, what does it mean? It means to make holy. There is the word that's used in the original Greek is mekadishkum. And in the opening of his letter to the churches in Asia Minor, Peter speaks of sanctifying using this word in the wider context of salvation. God loves us so much that even before we were born, he chose us to be his children. Despite our innate desire to reject him, we want to be Lord of our lives. God sprinkled us with the blood of his Son. He redeemed us. He wants us to live with him. And helping us to live for God is what this sanctifying work is all about. As Peter says, our taking part in this can mainly be described as obedience. Sanctification is about that moment-to-moment process by which we more and more learn to submit our hearts, our minds, and our bodies to follow Jesus. I said by which we learn to submit. But can we do this by ourselves? Does it feel like we're doing this? Well, I know my will isn't really strong enough to be perfectly obedient. If Wendy was here, she would agree with that. No, it doesn't really feel like that at all. So thank God that actually we don't have to, because the Holy Spirit sanctifies us by working in us and through us and setting us free. Not only does that Holy Spirit live in our hearts and remind us with constant niggles to follow Jesus more closely, but as we learn to do that, we become holy. We become set apart to serve. So this word, mekadishkum, it appears only a few times in the Old Testament. But you can find that word's meaning, sanctification or sanctify, so I'm told, 22 times in the New Testament, in the NIV at least. In Exodus, in 31, we learn, again, we see this word, the Lord who sanctifies, had made his people holy. It comes from the Hebrew word, meaning, if I pronounce it correctly, meaning kadash, meaning set apart, consecrated, sanctified, prepared, dedicated, hallowed, made holy. Very often, I think we as Christians, we understand how much God can change us, and we can think about sort of on an emotional level. But these aren't so much emotional words, are they? They're more about, moulding. I suppose has an emotional output, but doesn't start with the emotion, it starts with right inside. Again, this word appears in the book of Leviticus, where it means God our holiness. Chapter 22, verse 31. I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Or another example is in 1 Samuel, in chapter 16, where Samuel anoints David, which I always think of being something of a secretly arranged coup, really. God is not above subterfuge. And he said peaceably, Samuel says, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And then he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and he called them to the sacrifice. And then he anoints David, the one who'd been left tending the sheep. And I always find that really encouraging. In its most basic sense, to sanctify something is to set it apart for God's special use, for his purpose. God's people are sanctified because they are set apart. We have to be in the world, but we have to be apart from the world. For special purposes, again, Leviticus, consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And it means to become holy. God asked the Israelites to sanctify themselves in two ways. They had to keep ceremonial laws because of the sins of when they come to God, and they had to keep God's laws. In Leviticus 11 and in 20, God asks the Israelites to sanctify themselves by keeping his laws as a sign that they are his. So they had to focus on the Lord and on what he was doing. And they also had to prepare their hearts to listen. Now, why did I also have that rather obscure reading from Joshua 13? Which, frankly, is a bit boring, really, isn't it? But in Joshua 3, his call was to sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. They didn't know how they were going to cross the Jordan River or enter the Promised Land, but that didn't matter. Because there is a call in every age, just as much in our age, still to sanctify ourselves, to be ready, ready for the Lord will do wonders. I'm still expecting God to do wonders in my life, because I know he's not done with me yet, or at least I hope he is. But I don't really know what to expect, or how. How will I cross that river? And we call God our friend, our Father, and we can tend to forget that he is also holy. And we don't really appreciate, because we're human and we're here in this sinful world, we don't really appreciate how holy, holy is. But this holiness has a bearing on everything to do with God, including the sacrifices that we bring to him, the incense that's offered to him, the objects that we use in worshipping him, and we still bring our sacrifices to God today. In the era of the New Testament, what are our sacrifices? We don't come to a temple with a sacrificed bird or animal or whatever. Sorry, I'm glad that robin's gone now. Can't hear what I'm saying. But we do bring our time, our money, our actions, our prayers, our wishes, to name just a few. Our wishes, because the things we hope for in life, for our children, whatever, are shaped by that work of holiness that's been going on inside us. These are our gifts to our loving God, and they're different for each of us. These are our sacrifices, that in turn that we too can answer Joshua's call. Hebrews 10 tells us that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. God sanctifies his people from their sins, and he sets them apart from the world to serve him alone in the world. Romans 6. The Holy Spirit has not only set us free from sin, but he lives in our hearts. And he's reminding us, niggling us, to follow Jesus more and more closely. As we do this, we also become more holy. We do it because we have that bit of holiness in us, but it also comes back round and creates more, setting us apart for serving God. So a little prayer here. Lord, Holy Spirit, sanctify our hearts today. Sanctify them so that we will love what you love, so that we do what you desire us to do. Please continue that process that was started when we first met you, when you first opened the door and said hello. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, perhaps those words start to mean a little bit more now. We are sacrificing our daily lives so that they become holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So when we come into that relationship with Jesus, when we meet him, when he says hello, different for all of us the way it happened, we are justified. Now that's another word that we come across and perhaps use without really thinking about it. Justified means that we are legally made right with God. Our standing before him is now justified. Justified, somebody once said to me, is just as if I'd never sinned. God does that through the finished, the complete work of Jesus on the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is sort of comparable to Israel entering that promised land of Canaan. Israel entered, God gave them rest. The land was theirs by the powerful hand of God. He gave it to them. The land had been set aside for Israel. It had been sanctified. It had been made holy by God's promise and his declaration. But there was still a lot that had to be done to achieve that holiness. So our justification, just as if, is like Israel entering the land. God had given them the land. God did all the work to make it happen. Just like that salvation, that process is for us. God invites us into this amazing relationship with him that actually we so often take for granted because we've lived with it for so long. But he did it not based on our merit, far from it, or anything that we have done, but completely on his own character and what he has done. It's called grace, born out of mercy. So for Israel, sanctification was them conquering the land and removing the enemies of God, those that refused to worship him. And for us, it's very similar. We fight battles to remove the things in our life that are not of God. Some we win, some we lose. things we worship instead of him. Like God did with Israel, he gives us all that we need for life and for godliness to have the victory. Our battles are against our own flesh, the temptations of the world that we face every day, the enemy of our own souls. Now, what was that phrase I used earlier on? Joshua was old and advanced years when the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed." This is the land that remains. All the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites. I love that phrase. I think I've said this before. When I was looking through scripture for a clue about what to do when I retired, everything said, keep going, work harder, finish the race. I was listening to somebody else a little while ago who talked about you don't get retired, you get retired. The tires get remade. So God reminded Joshua that there was still work to be done and specific parts of the land that still needed to be dealt with. The next few verses describe the areas that remain for Israel to redeem. If left unattended, those pockets of resistance would become strongholds. Yep, that has a bit of a personal feel about it as well. The longer Israel allowed the Canaanites to remain in Israel's land, the longer and harder it would be to get rid of them. The real danger of not removing the inhabitants was the bad influence that they would have on Israel. It wouldn't take much for Israel to start looking at their pagan gods, for Israel's heart to wander from their own God. Again, it doesn't take much to entice us away either, does it? And the land of Canaan is a picture of our life in Christ. We enter into this land through Jesus. He fought the battles. He conquered sin and death. He redeemed us out of darkness. He loosed the bonds and brought us towards a land of light and life. And we are now, I have to remind myself of this, we are now holy, sanctified, set apart, time to walk that path of sanctification. And then we grow. Although we are immediately set free from bondage and the power of sin, we also have to grow in that process. Just as God spoke to Joshua and told him the areas that still needed to be conquered, so God reveals to us, through the Holy Spirit, the parts of our lives that still need to be conquered. James 1. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and once he's looked at himself and got away, has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Yeah, I think I do that in the morning as well. And when does this process of sanctification complete? Well, not to be feared, but it's not complete until death. We don't fear death because then we are complete and perfect in every way in Jesus' presence. This life is a process. We have battles. Our struggles are not in vain. One day, we will stand in the presence of God, fully sanctified. And these problems we have now that seem so huge will be forgotten. Until then, we have the promises of God. Again, as we read further in Joshua in chapter 21, not one of the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. all came to pass. As we face difficulties, we must not forget to remind ourselves of who God is, of his character. We can trust in his word. We can trust in his promises. Dear God, we are incredibly thankful for the work that you start in our lives. We pray that you just continue that process of making us set apart from this world. Help me to be who you say I am, and not who this world says I should be. In Jesus' name, amen. And that brings us to our final song, Who You Say I Am.